Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
From Los Angeles, I'm Justin Savakis.
And I'm Zach Burchi from beautiful sunny Los Angeles.
Formerly sunny.
Yeah, it's been super overcast.
I left New York to get away from this.
Yeah. It's. I like the rain. I just don't want to be out in it. So, watching anything this week?
I watched a lot of stuff. I watched the first episode of Fairy Tail.
Oh, so did I. What a coincidence.
Yes, what did you think?
I thought it was a big steaming pile of fucking garbage. What did you think?
I thought it was for kids.
Oh, come on. That's such a cop-out. So is Naruto. So is One Piece. So are all those other shows.
Yes, and this is almost exactly like them, except with lazier animation.
It's not exactly like them. The writing is shit. It is a big pile of terrible cliches. If you compare that first episode of Fairy Tail and all the bullshit that happens in it and how much exposition there is and how crappy and disappointing the fight scenes are, and compare that to the relative simplicity of the first episode of Naruto, and you tell me that they're anywhere near each other on the quality scale.
Fairy Tail is a lesser work, I'll be honest, but it's not nearly as bad as I think you think it is.
I guess I was just insulted by the fact that it just seemed so lazy. So lazy. Not a drop of creativity in it.
Yeah, it's pretty lazy. I will give them this. It doesn't look like One Piece anymore.
It doesn't. The comics do.
The comics look exactly like Xerox of One Piece.
Yeah.
This looks decent. And I can see it being, you know, something kids would enjoy, but let's face it, kids do like cliche derivative crap, as evidenced by, almost every popular franchise that America has put out.
No, I think that's an overstatement, but... Right. It,
Twilight, okay, how about that?
That's more of a tween crowd. But I guess, to me, like, it's created by Hiro Mashima, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who also did Rave Master, which was also sort of this also-ran, second-rate, crappy shonen franchise that,
didn't really hit.
Like I said in my review. It is the generic bag cereal version of a shonen series.
I didn't... No, the generic bag cereal version is Mar.
Oh, God. The mustachioed chainmail or mace ball.
and the CG monsters that look like plastic injection molds.
Oh, God, that show was... Yeah, you know what? I'll give it to you. Mar was much worse than Fairy Tail.
Yeah, Fairy Tail is like a 5 to a 6. Mar is a 2. Naruto being like a 7 or 8.
If you're just basing... I would argue if you're just basing this, like, the scale is only shonen series.
Yes, that's my
Then
scale.
I would put Naruto at a 9, I would put Fairy Tail at a 4, and Mar at a 1.
Okay, that's pretty fair. I'm sure there has to be worse shonen crap out there.
Of course there is. Beat the Vandal Buster.
Right, well, what's worse, Beat the Vandal Buster or Mar?
Boy, that's a tough call. Now, see, the thing about Beat the Vandal Buster is, his name is Beat, and he busts vandals with his vandal-busting sword... The Vandal Buster.
At what point does this stop being ironically amusing and start crossing over into, oh my god, who wrote this garbage?
God, I hated that show. What was the name of the company that tried to release that here?
Illumitune.
And they had that, and they had Bo 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 Bo.
And they had Beat X, which is another, you know, shonen show from the 80s that nobody wanted.
That's that motorcycle show, right? Am I thinking of BTX? GT.
Yeah, you're thinking of G. No, this was a, you know, almost like a Saint Seiya type thing.
Yeah, there's another one. Saint Seiya. I got so much hate mail when I trashed that show. I gave it like a D. I got a lot of hate mail from like South America, where it's huge in South America.
Saint Seiya, I could understand liking ironically. I mean, the special moves have their own theme songs lyrics.
That's true. I mean, that one at least had some heart and passion to it.
Exactly.
That's the other thing I didn't get out of Fairy Tail. Didn't have any passion. There's no heart.
Fairy Tail seems utterly phoned in on most levels. Especially, I was really shocked at how bad the animation was.
Yeah, really? Who's doing that, isn't it?
A1.
Yeah, it's A1.
And A1 does good work. I mean, Kanagi looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Big Windup looks gorgeous. I've never seen A1 look this bad. They must have had no budget.
Oh, speaking of, people, you'll get a kick out of this. I did finally get around to watching the first episode of Kanagi, and I kind of liked it the same way I liked Onegai Twins.
It's a guilty pleasure.
I feel so bad. But the animation's so nice and it's kind of pleasant.
It's really, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would.
It's really not that bad. It's fun and it's a turn your brain off kind of, you know, show that, you know, obviously caters to a certain group. But even if you're not that sort of group, it's like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's something I would watch with a nice bottle of scotch and an empty sundae. So, I mean, what else? There's something?
Well, saw the second episode of Nyankoi, which I was all excited for last week, and this week brought that to a crashing halt.
Yep, okay. Why so?
Well, because it turned into a lazy harem show. It completely forgot the comedy. And I really laughed very hard at the first episode. It just hit me just right. And the second episode was just lazy, lazy, lazy. Just the writing goes to crap. It starts being really paint by numbers, and you're like, okay, this is getting to a harem thing.
Now, see, you said you were going to watch this, and I said, okay, well, we could talk about it on the show if I check it out too. So
right.
I checked it out, and did you not notice the harem opener where the characters are introduced by their racks and their asses? Because it introduced, and then they pose as according to their personality. So, I'm the fiery one, I'm the quiet one, I'm the librarian type, I'm the mean one. Like, and they all have varying breast sizes and hair colors. That didn't stop you? There was no, like, that wasn't the red flag, like, oh, this is going to be bullshit? Like, really?
Well, okay, first of all, it's a shit season.
Yeah.
It is a shit season. This is the worst anime season I can remember.
Yeah.
And I was desperately looking for some reason to have hope. So I kind of gave it a pass, thinking, well, it's just the opening. Those are meant to be flashy, and yes, it has to appeal to that fan base, but this is still kind of smartly written, and I tried very hard to approach it with an open mind.
To your credit, I finished out the episode. And
that's just to my credit.
And because I'm saying I can see where you're coming from.
Okay.
It was not bad. I thought, I like it when pet humor, when animal humor plays on the reality of what that animal is like, and it's not just human comedy, except it's a cat doing it.
Exactly. The cats act like cats.
They're, oh, no, I don't think they did. That's the thing.
They act kind of like cats. They're munchy. They're adorable.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It wasn't very good animal comedy, but I saw the charm. You know, there was
I'm amused by allergy humor.
Yeah, okay, right. So I saw what you're saying, and then I skipped through the second one and said, well, this turns into exactly what I knew it would become.
Well, aren't we smart?
Yes, we are, goddammit. All right, so I saw... I can't really talk about it yet, but I saw Astro Boy on Monday, and there's a review embargo until the 20th, so I can't really...
Who's going to break it?
I can't really... Well, whoever breaks it, someone out there break that review embargo so I can post my review. The only thing I will say about it, I will just say this, it is everything I thought it would be and less. And for the rest of it, you can wait for my review next week, and we can talk about it on the show.
Gee, I wonder what that review will sound like. I have no clue.
Yeah. So, anything else?
Well, this week, apparently a script got leaked from Warner Brothers of Death Note, but we don't really know because no one's talking about it that actually is in a position to know anything. So basically, magically, this PDF that looks like a script to Death Note, the American live-action adaptation, showed up on the internet, and everyone freaked their shit. We can't really post any news about it because it's no one's talking. All speculation.
Well, the thing about this is, and the thing that I noticed is I started getting some emails, and there were some posts, weird posts in our forums of people, why haven't you broken this hot story? And it's because it's not a story.
Right.
What you have is probably the easiest thing in the world to fake, a PDF of a script. And it's for this project. Pretty much anyone could probably come up with a spec for this.
Right.
And, this is a leaked script for Death Note. That's really easy to fake. This is kind of a two-headed monster because on the one hand, yeah, it's worth checking into to see if maybe this is real, but you have to, a smart person thinks, this is fake, but I should check. The smart person does not think, this could possibly be the real thing. Like, you have to take it with a grain of salt. And if we call Warners and say, hey, is this real? They're going to laugh at us. And they're not going to say anything on the record.
Right.
So there's no way to investigate the story anyway. Unless you get a bunch of off-the-record anonymous comments, which don't reflect kindly on us.
Right, and, yeah, you're not really supposed to use off-the-record comments.
Right.
That's why they're off the record.
Yeah, so there's no way for us to look into it. It seems to me that there's sort of an attitude that if I read it on a blog or someone pasted it in a forum, somehow it's even more legitimate than a representative from a studio or somebody with actual knowledge. People seem to not really add that necessary grain of salt to unofficial bloggers and forum users. Do you get that sense that people send a lot of people blindly trust forum goers and bloggers?
Yes.
I think Wikipedia is responsible.
Well, I think people get excited because it seems like something they discovered rather than something they were spoon-fed.
Yeah, that's true. And you can't blame them for that.
No, of course not. And, you know, and of course this script, this particular script was written in the most provocative way possible. Ryuk is written out entirely.
Mm-hmm.
It has a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically everything that, you know, a fanboy would be all enraged that they did to a beloved franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, that may happen. But it's too pat. It's too perfect for internet flame wars.
For creating rage, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I thumbed through the script. I didn't read it fully, and yeah, I didn't really feel like doing that. But, you know, we're never going to get a good answer on this, and because we don't have a good answer, we can't print anything.
If you follow that line of reasoning where somebody sends us a PDF of a leaked, quote-unquote leaked script, and we immediately start reporting on it, basically, we have to say, oh, forums user GokuChan47 said Dragon Ball AP is coming out next season, and report that as news. I mean, you have to, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I mean, actually, something similar happened a couple weeks ago where we got a leaked internal email from an organization about a shakeup, and we didn't post it because we waited to get confirmation on the story, and we did end up posting something on the story, but they basically called us out as a bunch of pussies for not just posting it from an anonymous email.
Yes, and this same person then told us we were unprofessional jackasses and why aren't we reporting on this? Here's more sources if you need it, and then linked us to a 4chan anonymous thread.
Lovely.
Right.
Yeah,
thanks for the pro. You're a real pro, dude. You really know what you're doing in the news business. God.
I hate everyone. So the other thing I watched this week was actually something I watched for Buried Treasure. There's a movie version, actually a movie and two OAVs of Osamu Tezuka's Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody seems to know about them. This is completely separate from the movie that, or the series that Media Blasters released last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is directed by Rintaro.
Mm-hmm.
And the OAVs are directed by Kawajiri. And they're phenomenal, the movie especially. The movie is possibly the best thing Rintaro has ever directed. And here's what blows my mind. No one has fan-subbed them ever.
Well, you know, and it seems to me like that stuff would be a prestige release for somebody like Viz or, you know?
I mean, that seems like a
bit of a no-brainer. But
they're remastered for DVD in Japan. They look gorgeous. The only reason I have them is someone, you know, shared the DVD with me.
Mm-hmm.
And no one even seems, other than like the diehard Tezuka fan, seems to know this exists. I scoured the internet. Nobody even has a transcription online for it. And it's really, really good.
Well, start petitioning some studios now to lose money on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there recently has kind of seemed to be a renewed interest in some older anime. So
Tezuka especially.
Exactly. I have my fingers crossed. I mean, people are kind of realizing that Japan isn't making a whole lot of the big blockbusters anymore, so they're starting to look more and more to the back catalog.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that at some point, someone will license something new and, you know, not just re-release some of the stuff that, you know, Genion had years ago. There's good stuff out there.
Yeah.
You just have to really, really look for it.
Speaking of good stuff, so we had a pretty big announcement this week. Bamboo, after 5 years, is giving up shelf life. She's retiring, effectively.
Yeah.
Which, who can blame her 5 years of shelf life?
I couldn't
and
do it.
I'll tell you, the workload on that column, crazy. And especially when we're getting into box sets.
Yeah, and re-releases of box sets.
Exactly. And, yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, and God bless Funimation and their release strategy, but it was getting to the point where, okay, here's Ghost Hunt box set 1, Ghost Hunt box set 2, 3 months later, Ghost Hunt complete. You run out of things to say about Ghost Hunt in the first two box sets.
Yes.
So if you get a big box of stuff you literally just talked about 3 months ago, I mean, it was just getting to a point where I could totally see, like, okay, I just need a refresh. I got to do something else with my time. The great news is we found an excellent replacement. At least I think she's going to be excellent. Erin Finnegan, who writes for Otaku USA, publishes weekly, has her own podcast, Ninja Consultants. The great thing about Erin is she's a pretty much unabashed, unashamed anime fan, which is kind of hard to find among professional writers.
Yeah, most of them
are. We're all sitting
here
hunched over the typewriter with a cigarette dangling out of our mouth, grumbling about the industry.
Right.
But she's a fan, and she's a good writer, which is a super hard combination to find.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And one of the reasons I'm kind of excited about that is because I've been searching for a writer like that for a very long time because they are so difficult to find. And I wanted to make an announcement, and this is exclusive to this this podcast here. I am currently hiring a reviewer. If you want to be a reviewer for Anime News Network, now is your chance. However, I am looking for something very specific. I need a fan. We have cranky old timers. Obviously, we have them in spades. And I don't want to, first and foremost, like, I think we have, like, Carl Kimlinger has kind of a rep for being a little cranky dude. Mm-hmm. But Theron and Carlo, I think, have legitimate enthusiasm. But I really want to find somebody who loves this stuff and can write about it intelligently and in an entertaining and amusing way. So if you think that's you, not you, Justin, but you, the audience.
It is not me.
Hit me up, Zach@AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Send me a writing sample, and we'll talk. And I am actually hiring somebody. And if you will self categorize yourself as cranky old timer, no, I'm sure you're great. But I need some fresh blood for the machine.
And frankly, we probably know you already.
Yeah, and we probably already know you. So so yeah, new critics, a new opportunity. So we should bring the guest in at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Introducing Leatherhead, the evil Cajun Gator.
Leatherhead, these are your targets, the friends of the Ninja Turtles. Yusaku Yojimbo, the Samurai Rabbit. Casey Jones, the Sports Warrior. And Metalhead, the robotic turtle vending machine. Destroy them!
Whoa, better watch the old blood pressure, Shredhead.
Now you can get a pop-up display stand inside specially marked packages of turtle figures. Great for displaying turtles when they're not eating pizza. From Playmates.
Okay, and we're back at Dinosaur Story. Our guest this week is none other than Robin Cevakis, the author and creator of Anime News Nina and Justin's sister.
What is wrong with you?
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Okay, so we'll get a few little questions about Nina out of the way. So obviously you do this webcomic for us. Do you remember at all the genesis of this, how we even decided to start doing this?
It's actually probably one of the most unglamorous things ever. Really, I had wanted to do a webcomic for some time, and I just couldn't really think of an idea, though. And I think Justin was actually the person who suggested to try doing an anime-based one and seeing if it would go on Anime News Network, and that's kind of how it worked out.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, I sort of thought of the characters, and I wanted to do a character who could kind of be a new mascot for ANN, because, you know, we used to have my elf character, Jadris, who was really only up as the mascot because she's sort of my personal character, and when I invented her years and years and years ago, and
you were
Justin,
like 12.
Right. And when Justin first started ANN, I was like, put my artwork up somewhere, you know.
I'm like, fine. Draw her with a head in the toilet.
Eventually right. It found its way onto our business cards and shit.
Right.
Exactly.
Where we learned not to draw anime.
Professional business cards.
Yeah, that's where we learned that lesson.
So, yeah, I wanted to come up with a new character who was, you know, still had kind of that cute elfy charm and everything. And I also thought that the perspective of someone who's, like, a new enthusiastic fan is still really interesting because they still have that zeal and that fresh look, and so I kind of went from there.
As opposed to, well, us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, how long does it, I mean, you've mentioned this before, it is a bit of a chore to create this thing. How long does it take you to, say, from start to finish, concept to finish strip, how long does that take?
You know, I really have to write down my time one of these days to just actually time myself, because it's spread out over several days, and let's see, I'd say it's probably a good full 24 hours of work, maybe more than that, depending on the complexity of the strip. If it's one that has a lot of complicated backgrounds, which is kind of my bane, I don't really enjoy doing the backgrounds, which is why it usually looks like a bunch of gradients. I won't lie, I can get lazy, but since the strip is time-consuming, I mean, the artwork is designed for speed, basically.
And it still takes you 24 hours.
Yeah.
Man, that is considering what we pay you for that, that is a shit wage. Holy crap.
I get faster sometimes, but yeah, it really varies. It's a weird art thing, so.
At least a lot of it is taken up in, you know, slamming your head against the wall going, what am I going to do this week?
Yeah, and then I email you, and I email Zach, and like, what should I write about?
And then we don't respond, and I get one that's an enchilada joke.
That's what happens, Zach. You gotta check your email.
I'm gonna get one that's just four panels of Kevin sitting on a toilet, and the last panel is just a fart.
You gave away next week, Zach.
So the writing is really sort of the hardest part. Now, are you, I mean, how long, because I noticed you're doing a lot of stuff that really has nothing to do with anime, fandom, or anything like that. Are you out of that material, or is it just that's the hard stuff to write, and you're more interested in delving into the characters' personalities and families and stuff?
I wouldn't say I'm out of ideas, but I did want to do a couple stories that just were sort of about the characters, and I would hope that people were interested enough in the characters that I could afford to do some of those strips and not have every single strip be a reference to something or specifically about anime. But that's, of course, not going away anytime soon, and I still have lots more ideas for that.
Cool, cool. All right, well, so what we really sort of had you on the show to talk about was sort of fan artist culture, which you're obviously not a fan artist, and Anime News Nina's professional paid work. But we know you have opinions on this, and basically for listeners who are not super familiar with Artist Alley, basically it's a big bunch of tables at a convention where people sell their own, they sell something they drew, maybe not their own characters, actually mostly not their own characters, but they sell their artwork, they sell their mini comics, they sell their whatever self-published graphic novel they have. Some people sell hats and buttons. What, I mean, you've had some experience with that, right, Robin?
Yeah, I have. I would say it's pretty limited compared to some people's, and I've really only done pretty small convention work. So I don't have a lot of experience, but I do definitely have Artist Alley experience.
And so what has that been like for you?
You know, it's interesting. I'd say the first thing about it is for me, it was really, really hard work, especially if you have another job on the side.
An actual job.
To prepare artwork to sell, try to make new things to sell, to get prints made, and, you know, try and make displays and stuff. Just to get a table alone is nearly impossible these days. And I wish there was a more fair way to get those tables, but these days you basically just have to stay up online for 4 days in a row and wait for some idiot to go, okay, they're on sale now. Oh, they're sold out in 30 seconds.
Right, there's like a bum rush.
Yeah. And it's usually, you know, because it's anime conventions and sometimes they're not entirely organized, they're going to say that they'll go on sale one day and then that just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you miss your email for one day and they're all gone and you missed it because they dropped the ball.
So, I mean, now I used to kind of have a beef with Artist Alley a while ago. I had kind of a beef with Artist Alley because it seemed to me like they charge like $10 for a print and it's just a drawing of Inuyasha. Like, it's not, there's nothing particularly creative about it. You just took someone's character, drew it, photocopied it, and now you're selling it. To me, I do not see how that's different from bootleg, I guess.
You know, it's funny because my position on that has really completely reversed from when I started. Because when I first was working at these tiny conventions, I really did feel entitled to make some money because although people were requesting images of, you know, well-known characters that I didn't invent, it was still so much work. I mean, I would sit at this table and get up to go to the bathroom once, and that was basically it. I would be drawing for 10 hours straight. And I had prints, too, that, you know, I was going home and printing them off in a fluster and running out of ink. So I, you know, it was kind of questionable, but I felt entitled to it. But, you know, once I got to the bigger conventions and saw the level of production that people were putting into their tables and the massive numbers of prints that they must be making, I kind of changed my mind on it. It just seemed like they turned it into a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, yeah, made me feel more like you do, that it's, well, like, okay, now you really are just making money off of someone else's character.
Well, I mean, I have to say, like, my opinion on it has soft. I used to be pretty hardline, like, man, don't just sell pictures of Naruto. That's not creative. I think if you're not turning it into, like, an industrial operation, if you're just a fan who's and it helps if you've got your own work on the table with the other stuff that you know people will actually buy. If you're using it as a gateway to get people interested in your original work, that's cool. And it's not like these people are making millions of dollars.
Right.
Most of the Artist Alley people I know are the perpetually broke types, you know, suffering for their art. And so, I mean, my take on it has sort of softened. But do you, I mean, what's like the worst thing you've seen in an Artist Alley?
If you can think of one off the top of your head. Just egregious copyrights?
Egregious copyright or just terrible art?
Well, I've seen a lot of terrible art and a lot of terrible pornographic art, which that's got to be the worst combination of things.
I want to pay you $5 for this really awkwardly drawn Sasuke that looks like he has five limbs.
One hand is really tiny, but I find that sexy. So. Whatever. One eye's really smaller than the other, but that's fine. I'd say one thing that kind of bothered me was this one person I was sitting next to once, they were selling all these butt, and Artist Alley tip, get a frickin' button maker, because for some reason, buttons sell like crazy, because I guess, you know, you can charge just a buck or two for them, so, you know, all the fans want to put it all over their bags and stuff. But, you know, they were literally just drawings of, you know, here's a character's head from Prince of Tennis, and here's a 1,000 buttons I made of them. And it just seemed to me like, why, you could buy a button with the character's head on it in the dealer room, and this artist wasn't, you know, particularly amazing or anything, so I'm just thinking, I don't see the appeal of that one.
Right, that just seems like bootleg merchandise. I mean, if I were to make 1,000 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle buttons myself, and maybe I happened to draw the little Michelangelo myself and made 1,000 buttons and went to Comic-Con and set up a table, people probably wouldn't be all that cool with that. I mean, just to my knowledge, I've actually not spent a lot of time in the Comic-Con Artist Alley, which is mostly professionals anyway who are selling their actual books.
Right.
But to me, it just doesn't seem any different. I guess maybe it's just part of the whole fan sub culture that it's cool. Like, I like this cartoon, and so therefore I can sell unlicensed merchandise based on.
Well, and I think the struggle is that is, for the most part, what people shopping in Artist Alley really want.
Like, no one's looking for original stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's starting to change a little bit, which is really good. Like, you're starting to see more really well-done just fantasy art, you know, fancy people with wings and sci-fi stuff. And I'm glad to see that that's getting more out there, because a lot of Artist Alley people I've talked to don't really even enjoy drawing fan art. They literally make the fan art so they can sell it at the anime convention to break even, or just to make any money whatsoever and to try and get their original artwork out there, because I would take commissions as well, and everyone wanted Naruto and Sasuke or Final Fantasy VII or something. No one told me
Ava 01 fucking the dog of Flanders. Yeah.
That sounds like the best commission ever.
How many of your commissions were dirty?
This was something I struggled with. I don't have a number, but I never advertised myself as a yaoi artist. I had some Bishonen in the file that I had. Well, okay, I'm going to admit this right now. I specifically did Artist Alley to completely whore out. I wanted to make money. I actually made a list that was called the Fan Art Whore Out List. And I wrote all the top titles that I thought people would buy stuff. I was like a cynical marketing bastard about it. And you know what? It worked really well. I made money. Yeah, I'm a horrible person. But
sound
yeah,
of no one arguing.
Great. It's true. People kept asking me for porn, or they would pay me first and be like, oh, I'll send you these reference images and I'll tell you what I want. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then these two guys from what the hell's the evil group of red cloud coat wearing guys from Naruto? I don't remember what they're called.
Those guys with the cloaks that everyone at anime conventions has?
Right.
Yes. She wanted two of those characters. Of course, they were both guys making out with a stream of saliva in between their just parted lips. Spit string in between their mouths. And I got this email after she paid me, and I was like, yeah, I don't usually really draw that stuff, but I just ended up getting talked into more than I was willing to draw. a lot of fans wanted, I guess I should be honored that people wanted dirty fan art in my style specifically.
Did you ever take the opportunity to charge a little more for them?
Yeah, I did. I haven't been to that many conventions, but there would always be one person who just really liked my stuff, and they would keep coming back and keep trying. They would keep pushing me farther, and they would start bribing me with stuff. Hmm. Like, they would bribe me with more money, or they would, you know, get me something cool from the dealer's room, and it's like, okay, I'll draw Sephiroth molesting Cloud's chest, and they're both shirtless. Fine, I'll do it, because I'm a whore, and that's what it feels like.
Everybody's got to make money.
This is what I went to art school for.
Yeah, right.
But on that note, you are a professional artist. You work at a game company. And so you obviously don't need to do anything like that anymore. We wanted to talk a little bit about where anime art kind of stands in the grand scheme of American art, because it has had a huge influence. It's a big problem in art schools. And I know you have a lot to say about this. So take it away.
It's been really interesting, I think, growing up at this time that now anime has started to get really big. You know, people who were watching Pokemon in elementary school are now getting older. And so I think more and more kids who like to draw have been drawing in anime style. And to be frank, I think it kind of confuses the older generations, and they see it as this, they don't see differences. To me, anime can be broad. I mean, yes, there's big eyes and pointy noses, but, you know, there's huge differences between Takeshi Obata and Kiyohika Azuma and Pokemon, you know.
Are you suggesting that Pikachu's character design is not inspired and complex?
it's like Rembrandt. But I actually struggled a lot with this, because when I had art teachers that saw me doing this style, I think they just feel like I'm aping something. But I don't know, to me, I've always been so in love with the style, and that was one of the first things that drew me to anime, was the characters looked so interesting that the style's never going to fully disappear from the way I draw people. Even if I try and draw pretty realistically, there's still going to be that little flair. But yeah, I actually kind of have a complex about it, because so many teachers and people have given me shit over the years of, oh, you're still drawing them big-eyed Chinese cartoons and all that crap. And I almost kind of flinch now. It's like a sore spot, and I just sort of feel like, can't you just accept me for who I am?
No.
Shut your face. Yeah, like I had a coworker who, I for a fact, I know he likes anime, but he saw this little drawing I did and he pointed at it and just said, this is too anime. Why would you say that? Who cares?
Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about how in art schools now, art classes, the teacher goes out of their way to say no anime, no manga, don't bring it in.
Whereupon 8 of the students walk out.
Right. I mean, have you heard about that happening?
Not specifically, because in the classes I was in, there weren't a whole lot of other anime-influenced kids. In fact, I think I was lucky that it was mostly just me. Mm-hmm. But I was in the illustration department. I know in the animation department they had a lot more. But one thing that is important that I tell anyone who asks me advice for art is that you still really do need to learn how to draw how actual people look first, because that's really important, because then you just, I think I can understand some exasperation that the teachers have of seeing some of these poorly drawn, you know, triangle-faced characters over and over again without having any understanding of how the human body is actually formed.
Right, please take some perspective in anatomy classes.
Right, I mean,
how to,
you know,
draw manga like a pro is not proper reference.
No, oh god. Yeah, don't even get me started on some of those books you find in the Barnes & Noble's discount section.
Oh, no, please. Now I gotta know.
You're a manga pro.
What's wrong with those, Robin? They're just trying to help kids achieve their dreams.
But they are ruining dreams, in my opinion. They are taking dreams and vomiting on them with bad drawings.
I've never actually flipped through one of those. How bad are they?
You know, some are better than others. I've started to see a couple decent ones, but for the most part, they're really terrible. And it's like this train wreck situation when I'm in a bookstore. I see it and I have to look through it. I can't. I know it's just going to be just an abortion of imagery, but I have to look at it. I can't help it.
Well, what's so awful about it? It's just the art is just god-awful and they're not teaching anyone anything?
The art is usually god-awful and there's no... As I said, like, there's no actual anatomy involved. It's a lot of the artists who seem to be writing those books seem like they're just cashing in on the manga craze, mm-hmm. and probably were never really interested or weren't interested in manga style in the first place. They just said, oh, these kids like all those cartoons with the big eyes. I'm going to draw a book on that. I can draw that. And I like how they're Southern for some reason.
I can draw Charmander, no problem.
Charmander, shit. And, you know, some of the books are confusing, too, because they'll say one guy's name on it, but then in the book you'll flip through the pages and one drawing will be good, and then the next five pages will look like he switched to his left hand or his non-dominant hand.
Or his foot.
Or his foot, his mouth.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what happened? I think there's secretly multiple people working on those, and yeah, those are just weird cash cow books that are mostly terrible. But I think, you know what I really have to do? I have to scan some artwork that I drew in like middle school and elementary school when I was first getting into anime, because I learned the hard way that you should learn how to draw people first with actual anatomy. I started drawing people straight from the anime influence, and boy, those are horrifying to look back on. You have characters with giant heads and giant, giant boobs. I mean, if someone picked up my sketchbook from, like, the fifth grade, they probably would have thought I was a boy from the size of the tits that was in the sketchbook. And then the eyes would, like, take up three quarters of the face. I should scan those in just as an example to other people. Please learn how to draw humans first before you simplify them into anime features and exaggerate little stylistic things here and there.
Do you still watch a lot of anime or even some?
I'm pretty behind the times, but I still do try and watch some here and there. I caught Eden of the East, was that a couple anime seasons ago, and I really enjoyed that a lot. And
you can just tune out completely this season, there's nothing.
Well, the reason I asked is because I have noticed, and this is maybe, and I don't know if I'm alone on this or not, I have noticed that in general, it seems like for a lot of TV anime, the general quality of artistry seems to be dipping. And I noticed a lot of the same weird anatomy and perspective mistakes in shows like Asura Crying and even like Fairy Tail. The drawing kind of sucks. Like, there don't seem to be very good draftsmen working on these things. I don't know if in the cartoon itself it looks kind of unprofessional and clunky. I mean, have you seen a lot of that?
I probably haven't seen enough of the newer shows to notice that, but I think part of it too is seems like a lot of manga artists are trying to play around with styles more. Like Clamp started doing that whole weird gangly style, which on the manga page looks pretty cool, but I saw some screenshots of the Tsubasa anime, which I haven't watched, and it just... I think that was Tsubasa, right?
You're thinking of Holic, and the translation is shit. It looked terrible.
Yeah, it looked just really awkward and amateurish, and that kind of turns me off.
I think a lot of it is also the animation is being done with Wacom tablets instead of paper in a lot of studios these days.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes some getting used to, and I'm sure some artists who are older probably aren't making that transition very comfortably.
That could be. But like I said, I probably haven't seen a whole lot of the newer ones to notice the trend, but, you know...
I don't know that it's a trend. It's just something I picked up on. Like, just the artistry blows. It seems like they can't draw.
Even Sayunkoku goes to crap occasionally.
Yeah, but when you look back at the older shows, they went to crap a lot. I mean, especially the really long seasons.
Oh, yeah. If you pick up, like, mid-show, like, in the 60s or 70s of Ranma, oh, my God.
Actually, any given episode of the first three seasons of Slayers looks like it was animated by Mrs. Hansen's third-grade art class. It's super amateur. The characters are off model. Every other frame, the nose floats around. The eyes are changing distances. It looks like shit. I mean, the animation's really cheap.
Yeah, so maybe it's not so recent.
I think actually some of the digital shortcuts have made things a little bit better, because you go back and look at, well, actually a show I finally bought on DVD, my old favorite Fushigi Yugi.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the DVDs and I popped in the first one, and I haven't watched that show in years, and oh my god, that show looks so cheap, and I, you know, you just don't remember it looking that terrible. Like, the whole crowd is made up of gray blobs.
And you'll notice a good 70% of the animation in Fushigi Yugi is a character sliding in diagonally into the frame and their mouth moves up and down. That's a good 70% of that show.
Right, so, you know, I think I would venture to say that, you know, digital looks a little bit colder sometimes, but I think it's actually made those things a little bit better in some way. I don't know. It depends on the production.
Yeah, and obviously we're not talking about the majority of shows here. I mean, we were ripping on Nyankoi earlier, but we did fail to mention the animation actually is really nice on that show.
Robin, by the way, also warned me about Nyankoi.
Oh, did you already talk about the second episode, how it was disappointing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I sort of called Justin on the fact that he should have seen it coming from the opening of the first episode. But
he was blinded with hope. You'll never have hope again.
It was the Munchcats.
So going back to the anime art style sort of influencing American art, there has been, and it's sort of has kind of died out along with a lot of Tokyo Pop's prominence. But have you read a lot of the American world manga, as it's called, or have you? What's your experience with that stuff, and what's your take on it?
You know, I actually haven't. I don't think I've read any of it, to be honest. I don't buy manga super often because there's just so much out there that I just sort of collect one series slowly at a time. Currently collecting Nodame. But I just would read reviews or look at the art, and most of them didn't really look interesting to me. I did always still want to pick up that DramaCon because everyone said, oh, well, that one's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I heard good things about a couple of them. But to be honest, some of them, I'm surprised that they chose those to get published.
Yeah, I mean, I've had plenty of experience with it because when they were coming out, I was reviewing a lot of them. I reviewed Bizengast.
That was what I was thinking of when I was saying, I'm not sure why they picked that.
Well, because if you look at the illustrations she had time to work on, they look fine. She's a decent artist when she has apparently an unlimited amount of time to finish an illustration. But she's not a comic artist. The person is not a comic artist. The panels look like total crap. And I was at that time, I was scanning in the worst examples.
I remember that.
And putting them in the review itself. I got hate mail from her fans for that. For doing that. But to me, it's just like, I'm just pointing out, you're a shitty artist. And I don't understand why they would get upset.
How dare they?
I'm going to preempt any angry comments in the forums by saying I do feel a little bit awkward commenting on other people's art, considering I'm now known for a comic strip where characters don't have hands. I'm just going to get that out of the way.
But the trend of world manga does seem to be kind of dying down a little bit. It seems to have morphed into the only projects that are successful are true co-productions like Stan Lee working with Bones. He's working with Bones?
Yeah, they're working on a new project called, I think it's called Hero Man.
Great title. I'm sure it'll be good, but that's sort of where that went. So,
want to go to Twitter questions?
Robin, you want to take some Twitter questions?
Sure, I'll take some Twitter questions.
Okay. We got a few here. Here's a good one. Robin, besides Oh My Goddess, which I guess you said in the past that's where you get your inspiration from, where else do you get your inspiration for your drawings? This is from RJ Miley. Miley. There's a second part to this, but go ahead with that first one.
Oh, art inspiration. Yeah. I really love just looking online and seeing a lot of the professional fantasy and sci-fi illustrators out there. Websites like CG Society and annual publications like Spectrum have really cool fantasy artwork and comic artwork that I like taking a look at. And also, I've always loved Alphonse Mucha, the Art Nouveau poster artist. And then, of course, the anime stuff. I kind of like the artists that it's not cool to like them anymore. Like Tetsuya Nomura, the Final Fantasy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone's all tired of his buckles and hair.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a really big influence because, well, Final Fantasy VII was a really big influence on me because I play that probably in the seventh grade or so.
That's original. I'm just kidding.
I just really liked his artwork, and also Nobuo Teruyuki, who, you know, did Escaflowne TV and movie and various other shows.
Angel Cop.
Heikai J.
Heikai J.
Yep.
But he, I got his, one of his art books, I think when I was in high school, and I want to say the binding is probably broken on that book. I just gazed at it so many times.
Didn't he do Lotus War?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he did the original Lotus War OAV artwork as well.
I interviewed him once. He is a cold fish, that guy. No. Ask him a question. Yeah, he's just, yes, no, I don't know. Ask
him. I met him at SakuraCon. He was a guest at SakuraCon, and I didn't know he was going to be there, and I was mad because I didn't have that book with me, which is apparently a really hard-to-find book now. So I bought an Escaflowne book, and he was doing sketches, and I felt like I asked for a sketch of Jajuka, who I just always really liked that character design. I thought it was really beautiful. And he had to flip through the Escaflowne book to remember what that character looked like, because it was such a minor, obscure character. And then I felt bad and awkward.
Now, be honest, you asked for a sketch of Jajuka licking himself, right?
Oh, of course. With one hand really tiny.
Right.
One eye big.
Okay, the second part of that question is, what is your favorite anime?
I honestly don't know. I know, there's just so many good ones out there. I guess my cheap answer would be Escaflowne, because that's such a good show, the original TV show. But I kind of like all of those shows that were really good from the 90s, like Macross Plus and Eva and Utena, all those. But yeah.
Cool. Okay. Okay, from Aaron Sarais. I got his name right this time. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. how would you feel if Ultimate Mop Daisuke ever became a real show a la Kujibiki Unbalanced?
Wasn't Kujibiki Unbalanced supposed to be god awful?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think he's trying to insult you with that, though.
No, I'm not insulted, but, well, I mean, considering the show is just a blatant hollow shell of shonen tournament trope, it probably would be a terrible show, but on one hand, it would be kind of awesome in a surreal way that I made that terrible show happen.
Well, plus you could cackle on top of your pile of money.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I would get mad merchandising money from that. So, yes, I'd like that to happen. I'll start selling mops.
Okay, from Siren Love, this is a real fan question. In Nina, is there any chances for Paola to fall in love soon? And will there be a return of Megan the Crazy Fushigi Yugi fan? This is from Siren Love.
I've actually never thought of doing a love story with Paola, but that could be pretty interesting. I certainly wouldn't leave it off the table. You never know. As far as Megan the Crazy Miyaka fangirl, she might pop up eventually. I figured I'd let that one lie low for a while, though, because that series was really long. But
wow.
Yeah.
It was like three strips.
No, it was like six or seven.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like seven strips, and I have kind of a short attention span when I do those storylines, and I start getting all restless with them. But yeah, I think I might have her make a cameo sometime.
Okay, from the same person, last question from Siren Love. Where did the idea for Miyupi come from? These are hard-hitting questions here.
Do some soul searching, Robin.
Well, one day I took a dump, and no. I actually don't know. I wanted to make a cute little mascot character, and I really honestly have no idea where the whole pooping candy thing came from, but it seemed like something amazing that Japan would come up with. So, yeah, there was no interesting process. It just kind of blossomed twistedly out of my mind, like many things do.
Okay, last question about Nina from Sexist Sketch. What is the creepiest thing anyone's ever said to you in regards to Nina?
Ooh, that's a fun one. You know, I actually haven't gotten to meet a lot of people since doing Nina. Well, I started to when I went to the conventions with you guys. Most people have been really cool, but I think one of the weirdest things someone said was they met me and they said, "I thought you'd look like Nina." And they sounded disappointed,
They were expecting you to have cone hands, or
I don't know. Maybe they expected me to be some magical, gorgeous anime elf with 8-foot-long white hair something.
This stems from his experience when he met Charles Schulz, and he was a short, bald man with a striped T-shirt.
And 2 strands of hair.
Yeah. That's a weird question. Yeah. And admittedly, I've seen some pretty creepy shit in the forums regarding Nina.
Some of the forum comments have been creepy. In person, people really haven't been creepy yet.
There are some people in the forums that they know who they are. Okay, this is an email question. Why did the U.S. anime industry, from Charles Dawson, why did the U.S. anime industry seem to go from mostly OVAs in the 90s to far fewer OVAs in the present? OVAs seem like a great way to get into anime, and they don't require a lot of commitment to watch them. Justin?
That was largely a product of where the market was in Japan. The OVA boom was the product of, you know, the home video market being a new thing, and it just kind of kept going. But then after the bottom fell out of the economy the first time in Japan, the bubble burst, and people suddenly didn't have that much money to blow on, you know, $80 laser discs that were only a half hour long. Mm-hmm. So they started just putting stuff on TV and just buying late night ad time. And so what would have been an OAV ended up being a late night TV series, and that's what we largely have today. Of course, the U.S. anime companies always preferred the shorter ones because they didn't have to have, you know, 8 volumes of whatever. But when there's no OAV product being made, you can't sell it. There you go.
From Brian Van DYK. Is that Dick or Dyke?
Van Dyke.
Van Dyke. Brian Van Dyke. Dyke is D-Y-K-E, though, like Dick Van Dyke.
I don't know. Just read the damn question.
Brian Van Dyke. Hi, big fan of the podcast. Why does a company like Viz fail to do what's considered industry standards these days? For examples, the latest release of Nana and Honey and Clover box sets are plagued with subtitle problems. Nana doesn't have any signed subs, forcing you to watch dubbed or with subs.
Forcing you to watch the dub with the subtitles on.
With the subs on, which makes it, he wrote it out really weird, which makes a dub scene counterproductive since you need to know what some signs said in order to understand what's going on. Honey and Clover, they hard subbed signs, but they left out subs for any of the songs. This was the case for the songs in Nana as well, and some signs didn't get subbed. I like the content they're putting out, but it's hard to recommend them when they have issues that can hamper their enjoyment.
I have no explanation for this. It's so easy to do an extra subtitle track these days. I don't know what they're thinking, and I wish they'd get with the program, to be honest.
You think it's just like not give a shit rush jobitis, or
either that, or I don't know. The people I know at Viz tend to, actually, I don't know anyone at Viz anymore because they keep quitting, so I don't know what that says.
I mean, to me, anime's always been a secondary product with Viz anyway. It's never been their focus. Their focus is books. They're a publisher.
Right.
Anime's always sort of been on the sidelines, and this is something they're doing it feels like just to kind of throw a bone, see if it sticks. You know, here's 13... We'll do what Funimation's doing, give you 13 episodes at a time, but we can't really put too much effort into this because, you know, that's not what we do.
This is something that I think people do when they don't care about the product or they're just not fans. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that work for anime companies in the past, I'm not sure about today, aren't fans. And so if you have no idea how your consumer is watching it, you do a bad job giving them what they need to watch it. I think they need to do a better job. I don't find that acceptable at all in this day and age.
I was kind of interested in watching Honey and Clover, but then I heard it was really misogynist or something.
No.
Oh, is that just Casey?
No.
That's just Casey. Stop listening to Casey.
I loved Honey and Clover.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, both seasons.
I didn't like the second season.
You didn't like the second season? Yeah. I liked both seasons. Second season lost focus a little bit, but I really enjoyed it a lot.
I actually read...
I just don't like Glasses Guy. I find him boring.
I've actually read what there is out of Nana. I think it's over. I don't know if I've read the final volume. But it was awesome, but now I don't need to watch the show because it's the exact same thing.
Okay. I'll watch
it at
some point.
That's how I felt about Death Note.
Yeah.
Well, that and the anime moved so slow. That's like 30-something episodes for 12 volumes.
Yeah. Actually, it was 50-some, wasn't it?
I thought it was only like 39.
Or, no, it was 39, right. Plus the waste of time, relight the world, whatever, where it's told from Ryuk's perspective, and it's just a clip show.
I
read all 12 volumes, I think, possibly before the anime came out over here, and so I might have seen a little bit of the first episode, but by the time I read the whole books, which I really, really enjoy, I just felt that I didn't need to see it, even though I heard it looked really good and everything.
I loved Death Note until L died, and then it just kind of
lost its reason to exist.
Yeah, that was my take.
I liked the ending, though.
Okay, finally, from Stab Kid, if you were to run an R1 company, R1 anime distribution company, in today's environment, what would you do differently, or how would you run the company? What would you do differently now? Take it away, Justin.
Not a whole lot different, to be honest. I mean, I think the market forces have kind of taken out everyone that I had a beef with. Funimation's doing pretty much what they can to try to market to the borderline mainstream. I might pick shows that are a little more my taste, but, you know, I'm also almost 30. You know, as far as the little shows, little subtitle-only releases, short runs of them, sold them to the people that want them, like Right Stuff is doing. So, really, I'm not sure what you could do differently these days.
You could replace every main character of every series you release with a chimpanzee, and replace all references to food with donuts, no matter what the food was. That's how I would run.
You pull a Four Kids.
Everything's a donut. I don't care if it's a bowl of rice. That's a fucking donut.
They hold up like a milk set, tea set. Hey, anybody want some donuts? I would just do whatever I can to sell all my licenses to Funimation and get the hell out of the business. I don't think I would run an anime. I think the market has shrunk to where now it's going to be okay.
Yeah, at least this is a good size right now.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well right now. Okay, well, that was our last question. That was a nice laid back show, Robin. Thank you so much for being here and shooting the shit with us. And good luck on Nina and you know.
Good luck with the 24 hours a week in addition to your full time job.
I will keep trying. So yeah, thanks so much for having me on and anytime.
All right. Okay. We will see you guys next week.